Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, Valimara surrenders the universe, text 22. Kaye balis tasya mahavibhute sahardvig acharya sadasya etat tadarsha vishvam trigunam gunat makhe Bhutendriyartaskaya jiva yuktam kaye in the body Bali Maharaj Bali Tasya of the personality of Godhead Mahabhute of that person who is equipped with all wonderful opulences. Ritvik Acharya Sadasya apparently there were Ritviks around there too with all the priests, Acharyas and members of the Holy Assembly Etat this Tadarsha Sor Vishvam, the whole universe, Trigunam, made of the three modes of material nature, Gunatmake, and that which is the source of all such qualities, Buddha, with all the gross material elements, Indriya, with the senses, Arte, with the sense objects. Ashaya, with mind, intelligence, and false ego. Jiva Yuktam, with all the living entities. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, Acharyas, and members of the assembly, observe the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Aham sarvasya pravo, matak sarvam pravartate. Krishna is the origin of everything. Vasudeva sarvamiti sarvamahatma. Krishna is everything. Matstani sarvabhutani na chaham teshavastitaha. Everything rests in the body of the Lord, yet the Lord is not everywhere. Mayavadi philosophers think that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, has become everything, He has no separate existence. Their philosophy is called Advaitavada. Actually, however, their philosophy is not correct. Here, Bali Maharaj was the seer of the Personality of Godhead's universal body, and that body was that which was seen. Thus, there is is Dvaitavada. There is always two entities, the seer and the seen. The seer is a part of the whole, but he is not equal to the whole. The part of the whole, the seer, is also one with the whole, but since he is but a part, he cannot be the complete whole at any time. This Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, simultaneously one indifference, is the perfect philosophy propounded Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kaye balis tasya mahavibhute sahart dvig acharya sadasya etat tadarsha vishvam trigunatmanam trigunam gunatmake bhutendriyartashaya diva yuktam Pali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and the members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal form, which is full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Bhutastam Atmanam Sarvendriya Gunabhasam Sarvendriya Vivarditam Astitam Sarvarichchaiva Nirgunam Gunpoktricha. That everywhere is his arms, his legs, his eyes, and senses. In this way, Krishna pervades everything. And at the same time, Krishna is separate. He stays in Goloka Vrindavan, and his main activities, besides herding cows, is dancing with the coward boys and the caraho girls, taking prasadam, singing, etc. And therefore Krishna says, Sarabhutani kuntiya morti yaksam bhavantiya tasa brahma mahadyonir aham bija prajapita actually sarabhutistitam yomam sarabhutani kuntiya prakritim yanti mamikam kapasheya pinastani kapado vishvijamyaham. That Osana Kunti, at the end of the millennium, all material nature enters into myself. And at the beginning of another, enters into my nature. And at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create these things again and again. So Krishna is creating this universe, and according to him, Maya Dakshena Prakriti, Siyate Sacharacharam, Hetu No Nanena Kuntiya, Jagat Vivari. Far today. He creates it and it's set into motion according to Krishna's rules and regulations. And if Krishna delegates the material nature, the creating the prison, creating the varieties of actions and reactions within the prison, putting the living entities into the prison, and as Krishna observes the desires of living entities, awarding them according to what they desire and deserve. So Krishna is an expert delegator. He doesn't have to personally get involved. He simply observes. And by observing, he doesn't get involved. He says in the next verse that Prakritim Yanti Mam Prakritim Swama Vashtavya Vishvijami Punak Punak Buddha Gramam Imam Kritsnam Avasham Prakritira Vashat. This whole cosmic creation is under me, and by my will, it is automatically manifested again and again, and by my will it is annihilated at the end. Now the next thing, the next verse Krishna explains, Nachana Tani Karmani Nibandanti Dhananjaya Udasinadu Asinama Saktam Teshu Karmasu. All this work cannot bind me, I am ever detached, seated as though neutral. Now we ourselves, we're sitting in this body, and our problem is that we're not neutral. That's our only problem. We have so many desires concerning this material world. And therefore, we don't find out what Krishna wants us to do here. We find out what Maya is telling us to do. So much attachment and aversion. We want the material world in such a way for such an amount of time, and therefore we're desiring like that. And then Krishna, according to our desire, which is separate from him, according to what we deserve, he arranges the material world accordingly for every living entity, perfectly fit into their karmic situation. We don't realize that we're actually apart from this world and that there's nothing that's going to happen in this world that's going to satisfy us completely forever. There's no arrangement in the material world that will actually make us permanently happy. And yet we have some hope that this is possible. That's called Maya. And therefore, instead of being aloof for what's going on, therefore, we're completely involved. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, we also have an interest in what's going on to helping people become aloof from what's going on. Aloof from what's going on in the material world, but interest in what's going on internally in the spiritual consciousness. In other words, trying to fight against Krishna, his universal form, everyone loses. It's a big form, and we're quite tiny, and we don't have any power to do it anyhow, because we're completely dependent upon Krishna's power to do anything. His energy, either external energy or the internal energy. Nothing can be done unless Krishna sanctions it. So we can stay here and try to make a better world forever. It's a long time. And at the end it'll be the same. We'll come back again. Maybe we won't come back to Slovenia. Maybe they'll be come back to Slovakia. Close. And we'll try and make everything perfect there again. And then we'll struggle hard and die and come back somewhere else. Try to make that place perfect too. Perfect for what? Perfect for our eating, our sleeping, our mating, and our defending. And as far as mating, if we're not directly mating, then at least profit, adoration, and distinction. People should recognize, love me, whatever. And then we try hard to get these things. And we, even if we get them to more than we can handle, still we have to die anyhow, and then take the reactions for all our wasted energy. Therefore, one has to understand Krishna's position. As Krishna says, Nabandhanti Dhananjaya. I'm always detached, seated as though neutral. So we have to observe ourselves and seeing where we're attached to. But that's not as important as observe and try to see things through Krishna consciousness. Try to understand that the ultimate benefit of whatever we're doing is that we'll remember Krishna. Krishna will be pleased enough to give us his association because we're trying to serve him. So if we look around the material world and we think, I don't like the way this looks, or I like the way it looks, and I want that, and I don't want these things. I want these things, I want to get these things, and I want to get rid of these other things. If we look like that, then of course we'll think we have the possibility of possessing something. That we can actually own something and we can control something. And especially in Kali Yuga, even this idea of control is not very, very, we could say, obvious. Because people can see that they actually can't control very much in Kali Yuga. And therefore we're disappointed. The whole education is just to convince us that we could control things. Go to school, follow the rules, get your degree, get your job, get your money, and with that money you can control everything. You can even buy love in Kali Yuga, although it's a little expensive. You can get a house, you can get a wife, you can get a color TV, and therefore there's no need for Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. Just by a little education, you can learn technology, industry, and you can learn how to get things so that you can get more than anyone else has. But then you have to work like a dog, so you can eat like a hog, have sex like a pigeon, And hopefully you can sleep like a bear. And this is called progress. Yeah, progress, becoming more and more absorbed in material energy and therefore falling down to the lower species of life and not forgetting oneself as a spiritual being, and that one's real interest is Krishna. Tatevidu swarthagatim hi Vishnu. Just like we're here in class, sitting here in class, you're not going to make any money. Sorry. We're not giving a pep talk about salesmanship. We're not even teaching people how to win friends and influence people. There's nothing you can probably get from this class of any material value. The only thing it's concerned about is how we're going to actually do things, how we're going to see this world as part of Krishna's creation, and his purpose here to help people remember him. And therefore utilize our energies in such a way is to help people remember Krishna. And when we do that, what is our reward? We'll remember Krishna also. Krishna will reveal himself because he's pleased that we're trying to help others remember him. And therefore, helping others remember Krishna means that Krishna will be pleased to empower us to do that. In order to do that, he has to reveal himself to us. Otherwise, if Krishna doesn't reveal himself to us, what kind of power are we going to have to tell anyone else to become Krishna conscious? Sure, become Krishna conscious. What is it like? I have no idea. I just heard it's a good thing. But if you follow this book, whatever is in it, I don't know what's in it, I can't explain it to you. But if you follow it, then I'm sure Krishna will reveal himself to you and you can come back and give me your mercy. Now, why would we want to give Krishna to anyone if we can't get it ourselves? Generally, people have a lot of something, they want to give, you know, they're generous with others. And if you have nothing, it's very hard to be generous. Therefore, the first thing we have to get is hearing. Try to understand that we're actually a soul. And what does it mean to be a soul? Well, it's a good thing I'm a soul, I'm eternal. I always wanted to be eternal. It's good, I can walk around, I'm eternal, no problem. But there's eternal activities for the soul also. It's not enough just to be eternal. There are actually eternal activities. And we should ask, am I doing those eternal activities? Or I'm eternal doing material activities? All right, I'm eternal doing spiritual activities, but my consciousness is completely absorbed in the material. I can't wait till these spiritual activities end so I can begin my real activity, which is material. My plans, my lamentations, my hankerings, my plans for the future. Rather than whatever circumstances, we should think, what does Krishna want me to do? That's the biggest step forward we could probably take. Just ask that question. What does Krishna want me to do? Well, of course he wants me to do whatever I feel like it, because he's very kind. He loves me. He wants me to be happy. And he knows I'll never be happy unless I do what I want to be, to do. It's like you have a spiritual guide, and you say, my dear spiritual guide, can I do this? No. Wait a second. What kind of guide are you? You don't know my inner feelings, my inner desires. You're supposed to know me better than I know myself. You should come up with exactly the answer I want to hear. Try again. I'll give you 3 tries. No, unless we become convinced that we're eternal and that we have nothing to do with this material nature and that our real interest is Krishna, why would we bother asking Krishna what he wants us to do? And even if we do it once or twice a day, it'll be great advancement. It means that once or twice a day, we didn't just follow our mind around and our senses. We actually stopped and used our intelligence 2 times that day. And the demigods may shower some flowers on us. My God, he finally uses intelligence. He's been here since time immemorial. And he's actually used his intelligence. We can't believe it. Put it in this kind of news. Oh, just the thought, what does Krishna want me to do? What does Krishna want me to say? How does Krishna want me to think? Our emotions are flowing through our minds, and we're absorbed in them. We're living in a world of emotions, and we're convinced that this is the appropriate emotion. So before we act on an emotion, to think, how does Krishna want me to feel? How should I see this so I could have the proper mood? Not that we look at someone and think, wow, they did so many bad things to me. You know, they're certainly going to get a bad reaction. Oh, they're getting a bad reaction. They certainly deserve it. Maybe it'll teach them in the future not to do bad things to me. To see the whole world through our eyes, as it says here. To think everything revolves around the way we see things, the way we feel. And that we have Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that he can arrange things the way that we feel, the way we think, rather than trying to find out the way we should think, the way we should feel, what we should do, and then ask Krishna to please arrange things around that, not around the way I see things. Then we'll get free from the material nature and we'll realize we're eternal. And then we'll realize we're eternal and we should engage in Krishna's service. And when we engage in Krishna's service with some enthusiasm, then we'll remember Krishna, and we'll be happy. Then we'll actually fall in love with Krishna and everyone. And in any circumstance, well, we'll leave it up to Krishna, and then, not that we don't try to pray to Krishna to arrange the material nature to help us spread Krishna consciousness so we can become a better instrument. But whatever Krishna decides, let him do that. He knows perfectly what to do. He doesn't have to, we don't have to interfere with his plans. We just have to try and understand what they are and try to not only accept them, but try to enthusiastically assist him and assist his assistants in those plans. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Ram.
Can I ask, what does Krishna want us to do and if we are doing what he wants us to do?
He wants you to come to class. And you came to class. He wants you to pay rapt attention to whatever was said and remember it. And then apply it today in whatever you're doing. So, that's what he wants us. Now, if we can't do it all, at least we put our body here. So we had a good start. And then if we can get a little something from the class and apply it a little bit in the day, that's what Krishna wants us to do. Is that right?
Is that all?
No, but let's start with that. Anything else? Basically, Krishna wants us to hear enough so we accept everything belongs to him and then find out exactly what he wants us to do with our body, mind, and words and then do it to please him. That's what he wants us to do. So then Krishna can appear within our memory and give us, and we can become Krishna conscious. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for the lecture. I have a couple of questions. One is how to remember Krishna, you know, more. Another one, I've heard about different kinds of ego.
Let's start with one question at a time.
Okay, so the second one.
Just say the first one.
The first question is how to remember Krishna more.
How to remember Krishna more.
How to, yeah.
Well, for one, Krishna says, sarabhutastam atmanam, yomam pashyati sarvatra, sarvam chamayi pashyati, tas, actually let's start, sarabhutastam atmanam, sarabhutmi chatmini, ikshite yoga yuktatma, sarvatra samadarshanaha. The true yogi observes me in all beings and sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So one thing we can do is serve the devotees more.
Thanks. Can I ask another question? I have another question. Yeah.
Therefore, if we get rid of that, especially that one offense against the holy name, then it's much more likely. Of course, trinada pisuni chena taravi sihishnana amarina maridenena kirtini aksadari. Krishna says that one should become more humble than the grass, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So that's the secret.
Thank you very much. I have another question about this. I've heard some years ago in a lecture, I don't remember it, there are different kinds of ego. I've heard about this different kind of ego. I don't know.
Well, the spiritual ego, Gopi Parati Pada Kamalayora, Dasa Dasa Anadasa. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That's all I am. Then there's the other ego, which is anything except for that. There are two types of egos. Then the material ego is divided into innumerable types of false ego, in the modes of ignorance, passion, and goodness. And the spiritual ego is divided into I am a coward boy, I am a servant, I am a servant, I am a coward, I am a friend, I am a parent, and I'm a lover of Krishna, conjugal lover.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. How we differ if desire comes from Krishna or from Maya?
How do we understand if desire comes from... Because from Krishna, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. If the desire is in line with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then it's from Krishna. And if it's not, then it's not from Krishna. And if we don't know, then we should humbly investigate what Krishna wants us to do. And do whatever is necessary, perform whatever. Concentration of the mind on Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, perform the service that they want us to do with enthusiasm and steadiness. And when everything becomes clear, then we'll know what Krishna wants us to do. Because Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, they're telling us the same thing, supposed to be telling us the same thing that Krishna is telling us in the heart. And when we please Krishna in the heart by serving Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, then Krishna will make it clear what Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra is saying. Therefore, the secret is submissive inquiry and service to find out. When the student, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned, one should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. The spiritual master is by nature very kind to the disciple. So when the disciple is always submissive and ready to render service, then the reciprocation between knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Is that right?
Thank you.
Anything else? Hvala. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.